Hello and welcome to the MSL Consultant Podcast. I'm your host and founder of MSL Consultant, Aoife O'Dwyer. Today on the podcast, I interview Drew McGregor, Vice President, Head of Medical Affairs Excellence and Sustainability at Bayer. Drew shares his thoughts on how to balance patient focus with commercial objectives, how to reduce silos across the organization, and what would pharma look like without a separate medical affairs strategy. All opinions expressed are Drew's own and not necessarily reflective of his employers. Enjoy the episode. Hello, Drew, and welcome to the MSL Consultant Podcast.
Thank you very much for having me, Aoife.
So before we get into the topic today, can you give the audience a little bit of information about your background?
Of course, yes. So I'm Drew McGregor. I'm currently working at Bayer as Head of Medical Affairs, Excellence and Sustainability. And I'm a British, but have been living in Europe for the last few years. Spent a few years in Berlin, prior to that in Paris in France, and now living in beautiful Basel. So I've been with Bayer since 2018, and before that had time at Bristol Myers Squibb and at GSK, all in medical affairs roles. Having started as an MSL actually in HIV, in BMS, and still think it's one of the best roles in the business.
Wonderful. Well, great to hear. I know we've quite a large number of MSLs who listen to the podcast. Now, in recent years, there has been a huge amount of information and talk about medical affairs being a strategic partner and how medical affairs can demonstrate their impact and their value. Given your range of experience, in your opinion, how can MA take the lead in adding value to their organization?
So I think many people will have seen some of the industry reports, as you said, taking that third strategic pillar in the development of medicines, R&D, now medical affairs, and also commercial. And I think that's those voices have become a lot louder over the last few years as society, as customers, as patients demand more from pharmaceutical companies. And medical affairs can really play that role to translate science into clinical practice. At the same time, that comes with some big responsibilities. And I feel there's also an opportunity for medical affairs to really step up and act as that leader and not just sit in the background and play what some may see as a traditional role of playing the compliance officer and not enabling, but actually sometimes stopping things. So I think it's that title of being a strategic leader and being that third pillar comes with the expectations, responsibilities, and I think we've still got a way to go to actually be in that leadership position. But I think it is a really positive opportunity to actually get there.
And I love what you said about patients demanding more and medical affairs being one of the departments that can really drive that for the organization. In your experience and opinion, is there any really practical advice that you can share for medical affairs members or medical affairs departments to really help them get a seat at the table? I know it's different in different organizations and different countries, but is there anything in your experience that you can share that actually changed how medical was viewed? So taking them maybe from a support function to more of a really strategic pillar within the organization.
I think that's a really good question. Not so easy to answer, but I would say that it starts with building trust. I think building trust with the people that you work with most closely. So whether you're an MSL and working with sales reps and market access colleagues in the field to really understand what their challenges are, alongside the challenges and questions that your customers and patients may be having. So to understand their needs and to truly partner with them to actually solve problems. And how do you build trust? Well, it's getting to know people. It's getting under the skin of people and really understanding what makes them tick. So don't underestimate the value of going for a coffee with somebody, spending time to find out a bit more about them and what drives them, what's their purpose, why are they in this situation, in this position at the moment. So I think building trust is absolutely fundamental to that. I would also say, secondly, is yes, many of us may be part of a medical affairs function, but we're part of an organization that does work to develop medicines for a profit. So we're not part of charities. So having that understanding of what makes the business tick and what makes for a successful business will also be important to get a greater understanding for your what your cross-functional colleagues are going through as well. So a lot of talk about this medical affairs being a strategic pillar. I think in order to get there, we need to have a mindset of the enterprise and not just of science, not just of medicine, but also of the business. And I think if you look at successful businesses these days, they are tackling some of those big problems of society, you know, health equity, climate change and health, access to medicines and many of those topics. All of those, I think medical affairs can play a leading role. So I think bringing your science expertise, bringing your knowledge, building trust with people, and then working as a, you know, as a group across functions to tackle that. I think those are some of the things that I would say.
And you talk about really understanding your colleagues and building trust, and there are often phrases that we use when we talk about external stakeholders, but hugely important for internal stakeholders as well. You also talked about really understanding what is it the business is trying to achieve from a commercial point of view. And I feel like in the past, this is something medical has maybe shied away from a little bit. And there's been very separate brand strategies and very separate and siloed medical strategies. How can patient focus be balanced with commercial objectives? Because I know speaking to some people, they almost feel like the two can't be balanced together. You can either be patient focused or you can be focused on achieving the commercial objectives. But in your opinion, how can MA and different departments within pharma balance those two?
I would turn it on its head. I would say it's not so much a balance. It's more of a, you know, one follows the other. If we're truly focused on patient needs, in the areas where there's the, you know, the expertise and the resources of a company, that then that will bring business value and will bring benefits for the company and shareholders and all of the other things. So I would say they need to go hand in hand. The more we talk about separate strategies, the more convoluted, complex, siloed the organization would be in. And I think that there needs to be some one overarching strategy for a particular brand, which medical affairs can absolutely take a driving force behind, leadership position in. As we had just mentioned, some of those big topics that we're addressing at the moment and we're dealing with in terms of health equity and climate change and health, I think that is something that, yeah, medical affairs can take a lead in. When it talks about the brand strategy, if you listen to customers, to patients, what do they want? They want a true understanding of our products. They want scientific dialogue. They want that richness of engagement, which medical affairs can actually deliver. So the ingredients are there for medical affairs to take the lead. Does it have to be in a separate medical affairs strategy? No. In terms of patient focus, I think patient focus and customer centricity, we've talked about that for many, many years. Patients and customers, they want to be there at the table to actually develop solutions, to develop medicines. And I think medical affairs can play a leading role in facilitating that exchange, to bring the insights back in and then actually better develop medicines. So I would say it should not be a balance. It should be absolutely a core part of the business strategy to put patients at the center, to bring them in early in development, and then to work through the life cycle of the product alongside patients and customers and patients and payers.
And you talk about not having a separate medical affairs strategy, but instead having an overarching brand strategy or a strategy for the brand. In your view, who would have a seat at the table when designing that brand strategy? Would it just be medical and marketing, or would it be maybe patient engagement groups if they're available within the organization? Would it be market access as well? What might that internal roundtable look like that would develop that strategy?
So I think you mentioned a number of those key players: medical, marketing, access. I would add in development and research and development as part of that, and potentially other parts of the organization. If there is a separate patient group, then maybe they are part of that. Maybe that's incorporated as part of either development or part of medical affairs. So I think one of the key things in there is that you need to have multiple different perspectives of many of those functions. I think you also need to have different layers, if you like, geographical layers, so that you know it's not just an ivory tower that is developing that strategy, but you've got people that are closest to patients and customers to actually give that perspective. And so whether it be key countries that are co-creating that strategy, or whether it's actually the people that are closest to engaging customers and patients. So that may be MSLs, it may be other field force that are creating that. But I think the key thing, keep the teams relatively small, diverse perspectives, and those diverse perspectives not only come from different functional inputs, but also different experiences and different roles that are engaging with those people that are closest to actually either taking the medicines or prescribing the medicines.
And it sounds like best practice may be a case of this group coming together, and to your point, keep it small but diverse as well, which can be difficult to do. It is a balancing act when you're trying to get the right people in the room but not have everyone in the room, because then making decisions becomes very, very difficult and you can get something that isn't as clear or as focused as it should be. And then taking a step back, and maybe this cross-functional brand team would ask the question, well, who is best placed in the room to execute on this? Maybe it's a particular strategic objective, or maybe it's some kind of key result or some kind of tactic, but really allocating resource in such a way that makes the most sense based on the different skill sets that would sit in that room. Is that kind of the idea?
Absolutely. I think that makes sense, that you have these diverse perspectives to craft the strategy. From there, then there will be different work packages or different subgroups that will be needed to actually take many of these topics forward, whether that be around evidence generation or communication or insight generation. I would say the key thing is that, as you say, it's not going to be a committee of 30 people that will be creating that, but you will need to get the inputs of many, many more people than that to actually come out with a valid strategy. So it will need to go through rounds of review and rounds of input to actually come out with the final package. And then that package will need to be divided up into different work units, which will be taken on by different parts of the organization.
And one of the benefits of that as well is that it would enable certain parts of the organization to really focus on what they're great at and not try and do everything. Because I've worked for big organizations and small organizations, and sometimes there's a lack of clarity in terms of roles and responsibilities, and it means you have everyone doing a little bit of something, as opposed to certain people really saying, no, I'm putting my hand up, that absolutely sits within our organization or our department, and we can really execute that because we have the skills and the expertise in-house to really focus on that and to really own it as well. And I think sometimes our commercial counterparts are really, really held to account in terms of what they need to achieve. It can be easier, obviously, because you can look at things like script volume, which is a very definitive thing. Whereas sometimes in medical, it can be harder for us to really show the impact of what we've done. But with what you're proposing, there would be no hiding away because medical would be really owning the delivery of certain tactics, and at the end of the year it's a case of, well, did you achieve it, yes or no? And it enables the departments to really focus and really trust each other as well, going back to what you mentioned earlier, to kind of say, well, I'm going to stay and focus on this particular aspect in my department, and I trust that my colleagues in different departments will really own and deliver on that other aspect as we had agreed upon as well.
Yes. Absolutely. There will also be many, many topics which will continue to be conducted and achieved across the different groups. I mean, take for example, digital and how we engage with our customers. That's something that cannot just be done in silos. Who owns a particular thought leader or a customer? That hot potato. Let's not get into that today. But that ownership should be, it should be company wide to a certain extent. But at the same time, having very clear lines of contact to who does what and how do we engage with that particular customer. So digital engagements, that is not just something for commercial. It's very just as much responsibility of medical affairs as well, and it's a it's another way of engaging with our customers through multiple different channels.
And I remember years ago, I had a story from a colleague who was speaking to a KOL, and my colleague asked the KOL, oh, are you going to this conference? And the KOL was like, I'm speaking for your company at this Congress, which I think is something that could so easily happen, particularly in large organizations where there are multiple touch points and there are these silos and there's a lack of communication and clarity internally, which can actually reflect poorly externally then, because it looks like the organization isn't unified and it doesn't give the best customer experience to those KOLs as well.
Exactly. And that customer experience, I think there's increasing data out there now to really demonstrate that having a positive customer experience then does lead to positive business performance as well. And medical affairs can play a leading role in actually driving that and improving the customer experience. There are tools out there, very well-known tools and databases that can enable that transparency and enable that information sharing across functions, so that they don't fall into that trap of that example that you gave.
And you mentioned briefly earlier as well that when developing an overall brand strategy, I guess you touched on the difference between a global strategy and a local strategy, and there can be various different constraints at a local affiliate level. There could be budget constraints, resource constraints, and also there will just be less tier one KOLs and maybe a really small affiliate versus, a very large affiliate. In terms of the brand strategy, and I know you mentioned this, is it in your opinion best practice to really kind of involve some of the affiliates to inform the global strategy before maybe it's disseminated down? Or what are some of the, I guess, the learnings you've had from that part of the process?
Yeah, it's there's not a one size fits all solution. I think it obviously depends on the company situation, the product profile, the therapeutic areas that you're in, and the size of the market, size of the disease area, which will drive the setup of that group. But I think it's, if you don't have a strategy which is informed by input from you know, from patients, from customers, and from the key areas of the highest opportunity, namely the key countries, then it's going to be very challenging to actually get the right strategy and to have success. So I think the first thing is to have that good understanding of what the, you know, what the environment is that you're working in, and the customer base, and where, what the unmet needs are, as well as the, you know, where they are at. That can really only be done by bringing in the different different perspectives, and that should include different different countries to actually do that. It's not an easy task to fulfill, to avoid the sort of casts of thousands in putting into it, but I think it's a critical piece in the puzzle to actually get that the most likely chances of success.
Yes, and it sounds as well, based on what you're saying, that it's important to seek a lot of feedback and insights, but you won't get consensus from every single person or every single affiliate or every single KOL or every single patient organization. So it's about taking all that information and then really packaging it and developing a strategy in such a way that you believe represents the information that you've been given and the different unmet patient needs that are out there.
Yeah, and I think the key thing is to have that overarching strategy, but to allow those differences in local guidelines or access to physicians or different patient journey and customer journeys, allow that flexibility to be in the system, whilst also still remaining true to the overarching the data, the key principles of what are the overarching messages and scientific exchange topics that the company is most interested in receiving questions on. So I think overarching goals and overarching strategy, have that aligned, and then allow the flexibility at a country level depending on the local situation.
Yeah, which demonstrates a huge amount of respect for the local affiliates as well, that you're not saying this is what you need to do. You're saying kind of, okay, well, these are some things that are really important, but I recognize that it might be different in Belgium or in Ireland or in Switzerland or whatever market you're in, based on, as you said, different guidelines, access to KOLs, different reimbursement pathways, different patient pathways, a whole host of differences that can exist at the local level.
Exactly. Yeah.
Drew, thank you so much for your time today. I think the conversation about having an overall brand strategy and how it can still be a way, and indeed maybe a very important tool, in order for medical affairs to really demonstrate their value or own certain objectives or tactics, to show how they can be a strategic partner, is a very interesting one. So thanks for sharing your insight today.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed the discussion.